Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
No, that is here. Now I'm recording, so we're not going to miss any of our hot takes on...
I don't want to miss a thing.
No more hot takes. No hot takes.
No more hot takes. Hot takes are over.
We're done. We're done with hot takes. You want my Mandalorian hot takes?
I haven't watched a single new episode, so...
Yeah. Well, the new episode...
It'll still work, sure.
The new episode takes us through a fantastic roller coaster ride throughout the Uncanny Valley, so...
Ooh, the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, and I'm the character that does that, pretty much like he has the physical manifestations of one of the presidents from the Disney Hall of Presidents. So I was like, is it a robot or is it just CG? I don't know.
would you appreciate it more if it was a robot?
A robot? Yes, I would appreciate it if it was a robot.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
Did you see my Did you see that thing I sent you with the Tomb King's Osiark Bone Reapers proxy army?
Yeah, it's cool looking.
That's what I was going to say. So if you still want to do a 3D printed Tomb King's army, you can proxy it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Just do Osiark Bone Reapers.
But right. I don't know, like, because I know you like tourneys, but you don't like tourneys. Like, you just like going and playing. I don't know how much... like your casual play friends would really care if you had a proxy army.
Nobody I played with would care. I mean, I don't think you could play with that army in a tournament, I'm pretty sure. As long as you were like clear with what is what, I don't think there would be an issue.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you wouldn't be able to play in like an Adepticon tournament with it probably, especially if you're doing 3D printed figures.
It's been a while, but if I remember correctly, the last... I don't know if stance is right, but the last policy that I remember for Adepticon GW tournaments was you can use anything, but if your army is like X percent not GW, they won't put pictures of it online.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that for sure. And it's like, and it's even then, it's like you have to, it's like a tiny percent, like you could have like one non-GW character figure in there.
Yes.
And that's it. And even then they're like,
No, it's over 50%.
Some ridiculous thing like that. I think that there's some like weird formula that they use. Like you're allowed to use certain bits, but you can't use other certain bits and stuff like that. There's some thing to it. I think it's all just based on personal judgment of whoever's taking the pictures at the time. You know?
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
So before we get into stuff, there was some backup stuff that I needed to ask you from previous episodes. I never got around to it.
I'm ready.
One, what did you think of the Great British Baking Show Japanese episode?
Oh, that's right. We never did. We didn't clarify that.
We never caught up on that. Yeah.
I think that Japanese people are about as knowledgeable about Japan as the average American person.
You mean great in British people.
What did I say?
You said Japanese people.
Yes, other way around.
The British people are about as knowledgeable as Japanese people as American.
The British people are about as knowledgeable about Japanese as the average American is. If I remember correctly, I think I was counting and there was exactly one dish that was both Japanese and used a Japanese flavor.
Like yeah,
there's only one.
I don't know. I don't even know if there was that. I mean, I think they would. They were kind of there, like this. I don't even think they had like the right ideas about Japanese cooking.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like they didn't make like most of them made like a variant like Chinese dish. Like
one yeah, exactly. Like that's what I was saying. Like I think a lot of it was just Asian dishes that they got confused with.
Specifically Chinese, really. Like I was like, yeah, those are Chinese. And one of them was one of them did a curry, which I did like. Because curry's super popular in Japan.
Although, well, curry's popular everywhere now, really.
Yes. Except, although, interestingly enough, curry in Japan is considered a Western dish.
Yeah, well, it is a Western dish. It's fucking Indian. India is west of curry. You know what? India is
west of curry.
West of curry.
They're west of curry and north of cumin.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was like, but in actuality, curry is the renamed Indian city that the British just called. We're just going to call the city curry because we can't pronounce it in British in Indian languages.
In the Queen's English,
we're just gonna call it curry, Kurdistan.
Curry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was the Great British Baking Show this year was probably the biggest shit show I've ever seen, and I've watched almost all the episodes of that show.
Really? What do you think was so bad?
Everything, like every week, just everyone was a mess. Except like,
You meant like everyone was having a bad time.
Yeah, everyone was just like they were like the worst cooks or the worst bakers. They fell apart constantly. They fucked up brownies, Steve. How do you fuck up brownies?
There was definitely some damage. But I think, obviously, I've never cooked outside, but I do believe that the fact they cook in the tent and the temperature variations they get, because it gets super hot sometimes, I really do think that completely fucks with your ability.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you don't bake outside. Who came up with the idea
That's part of the challenge. If you can't bake outside in a random temperature, you can't call yourself the star baker.
It's funny with the brownies too, because I actually sat there and thought about it, and I'm like, how do you fuck up brownies? And then I was thinking, and I asked my wife, I was like, when was the last time you made brownies? And she goes, from scratch? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess no one really makes brownies from scratch.
Yeah, you pour the mix into your bowl.
Yeah, and everyone loves the mix. It's like, and as far as I know, most bakers, in a bakery, use mixes. Like, they have, a brownie mix, and instead of, they don't use oil, they use butter. And if they probably add extra eggs and stuff like that. Like, they make it richer by using just a couple tricks outside of what the box tells you to use.
Right.
In the finale, they had the three for the winning finale. And that blonde woman did not deserve to be there for that finale. She was a mess all around, and I'm sorry to any of our British listeners who she's probably related to, because aren't they all related out there?
Was that Norway? I think it's Norway or Sweden. I don't know.
Chick?
No. There's some town. I can't remember what it was. It was either in Sweden or Norway, and it was basically you have to get a genetic test before you get married because literally everyone is related.
I think that's Greenland. I know. I think
it could be Greenland.
It's either Greenland or Iceland. One of those two. One of those islands.
It could be Iceland or Greenland. That's also accurate. I'm not sure.
Welcome to Joe and Steve just make assumptions about European culture.
It's not an assumption. I know exactly what it is. It's a real story. The only thing I don't know is I'm sorry. I said I knew exactly what it is. I knew that it did 100% happen. It's not a made up story. I just don't know. I just can't remember where it was. But I remember it was a Scandinavian. That's so Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Greenland, Iceland. You know that. So it's just I saw. I'm sure I saw a very long name of a place, and I was like, okay, yeah. And then my brain just archived it, and it was just like, I don't know, say Norway.
You know, I was thinking about Iceland the other day of I know it's so sparsely populated, and it's like, that's the place that I would just like to go to immigrate to. And everyone always talks about the taxes and shit like that. I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I could probably have a minimum wage, the lowest paying job there and still be happier than
the higher taxes don't matter if you have actual public services.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and just to be alone, and they have that type of culture where it's like you don't have to say hi to everybody and be happy in your job. You could just be miserable and people accept it as you are just miserable. Like Sweden or Finland or Norway, like all those Nordic countries are all like that.
Yeah,
where you just can be miserable and you don't have to worry about.
I will say saying hi to everyone is kind of annoying. It's like, I don't like doing that in person. However, I'm playing Red Dead Redemption, and you'd better damn believe that every single person who says hello to me, I go, howdy, partner.
Well, yeah, of course, because you're role-playing. I think in America, we're just role-playing being human.
That's true. Try to figure it out.
Yeah. And also, Dr. Sleep. Holy shit, that movie is way better than it had any right to be.
I really like that movie.
Yeah. I don't, for anybody who hasn't seen it, I think Steve and I universally give Dr. Sleep a thumbs up.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I was.
Dr. Sleep was really good.
And it's funny because I know on this podcast before you said you were not a fan of Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
I am not.
Yeah. And
maybe not a fan. So I just feel it's one of the more overrated movies out there.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I really like the movie. I think it's rated fairly.
I love the soundtrack.
I think the soundtrack is
really good.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great. I think that they did have a point of being overrated at some point, but I think it's kind of gone down to like it's like a pretty standard rating. I think like there was like a point in the mid 2000s, early 2000s where everyone was like jizzing themselves completely over Stanley Kubrick right around the time that he died.
Yes.
So that was like the early 2000s, I think. He died in like 99, 2000, something or other. And everyone was jizzing themselves over it. And so now I think after, 15 years of over in a 50, after 15 years, he's gone back down to kind of like where he deserves to be in the film pantheon.
Like, correct. All right.
Yeah, he's like it's auto-corrected itself because a bunch of new people have entered into the film world and are now overrating things that shouldn't be overrated. And it happens.
New overraters have entered the game.
Well, I mean, like the amount of people who are like fucking jizzing themselves over George Lucas now is ridiculous.
Who's jizzing themselves over George Lucas? What did that
literally
what just happened?
I know exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like young film fans are jizzing themselves over George Lucas. And I don't understand it myself, but whatever.
I guess he's like a really good lesson in understanding the value of merchandising, right?
Yeah. People, I think right now, one of the more overrated directors and someone that I really like is David Fincher. I think he's got a fairly overrated. Oh no, you know who it is? It's Christopher Nolan.
Oh,
Jesus
yes.
Christ! Talk about a guy who's overrated as a director. Christopher fucking, I'm gonna make my movies 4 hours long. Nolan. Tenet's yes. Tenet's on Apple TV, and I'm refusing to watch.
I don't have 7 hours. Yeah. If I'm gonna spend 7 hours watching a movie, I'm watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I guess I should say I'm watching part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
What is it? 12 hours for the extended edition?
I think it's 13.
Maybe. Yeah, just about. Yeah, I had this conversation the other day. It's like, if I really want to sit down and watch Lord of the Rings, I'm gonna watch the extended edition. But I'm just happy that I have on HBO Max that I could just sit down and put on Lord of the Rings. And I, granted, it's not the extended edition, but whatever. I'm not really paying that much attention to it. It's just background noise for me.
Yeah, as background noise, it's perfect.
Yeah, and they have all of the Hobbit movies as well, which is nice.
Yes, but you go and can you set it up in the to play them all in a row?
No, unfortunately.
See,
not.
They need to start that like, I mean, I'm no big shitty programmer, but I think that the fact that no streaming service that I'm aware of has the ability for you to make your own playlist queue other than fucking YouTube is kind of annoying.
I was actually thinking what Peter Jackson needs to do is Peter Jackson needs to go back and revisit the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I know the 4K edition that just came out is supposedly amazing. But he needs to go back and he needs to edit all three of those movies into one mega movie. And what I mean by that is he needs to go in there and he needs to seamlessly blend the end of Fellowship into the beginning of Two Towers and the end of Two Towers into Return of the King with, you take out the title sequences, with the title cards and stuff like that. We just get rid of them and just make it one long movie. And it would be difficult because both all three movies start with very weird backstories that are kind of like especially Return of the King. I hate that opening to Return of the King where you see like Gollum's backstory. I think it's so jarringly out of takes you out of the story.
I see. That's the thing. It does if you just watched a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
Like when you like the theatrical gap, all of them were fine, were perfect.
Yes, exactly. No, you're right.
I think the, well, let's see, I'm looking here. Okay, so if we made it into one mega ultra film, including the Hobbit trilogy.
I don't know. Let's not include the Hobbit trilogy just yet. Let's see if we could do it with Lord of the Rings first. Right,
so Lord of the Rings, if cut as a single film, which means no credits, no opening moments, is 11 hours and 6 minutes.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
That's cut as a single film with opening credit sequences. So there's that.
No, I think that's totally, I think that you could do that. And I think that he probably has a lot of material that he could probably use to fix that.
Yeah, supposedly there were reshoots at some point, like somewhat recently. So I think they said there were reshoots. So either that means that there's more content for these films, or what I suspected when they said there were reshoots with the original cast, I was like, that's probably going to be footage for the Amazon show.
Probably. And it can also be for that 4K cut that they just put out, because that 4K cut is supposed to be amazing. It's supposed to be like the greatest thing ever. I want to buy it. And I was talking with Dwayne about this too, is that I really want to buy it, but I don't have the system for it. Like, I'd have to, if I upgraded my TV and I upgraded my sound, I would totally get the 4K Lord of the Rings.
Right.
But I think for right now, the system that I have, there's no real need for that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So I don't know how we got the mega cut of Lord of the Rings, but what the hell? Why not?
Because it always comes back to the Lord of the Rings.
It always comes back to Lord of the Rings. And also that blonde woman did not deserve to be on that finale. It should have been, Ermine, the Caribbean woman. I don't remember where she was. I want to say Jamaica, but that, I could be wrong on that. But she was fantastic. And, yes. The blonde woman was a mess. Everyone liked her food, but it just didn't look good.
Yes,
which I think was bullshit. But anyway,
well, so I'm a function over form person, so I would absolutely be like if someone showed me something that had an amazing presentation, I would note that the presentation was not as good. But at the end of the, like, for me, and I think this is personal, at the end of the day, taste is king.
So. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's what is it there's that formula that you follow where it's like poor people, it's about quantity over quality. The more food you get, the better. Right. When you're middle class, it's about quality over quantity. So you want quality food. But when you're rich, you care about presentation because you can always get quality food. So you want your food presented in a nice way.
Right,
so
exactly. It's
like they're really like what that show is really striving for is to hit that rich where it's like everybody's going to generally make good food, but it's about the presentation of the food. So it's like when I see someone on the Great British Baking Show who makes a really fucking obnoxiously fancy cake or something like that, I'm looking at it and I go, yeah, it looks super fancy, but does it look like, is the presentation good? Like, yeah, you did a fucking lot here, but it doesn't look that good. It's just a lot of fucking fancy shit, you know?
Mate, it's overworked.
Yeah, and plus I can't, yeah, exactly. And I can't eat it, so I can't really tell about taste. So all I can really care about is presentation. So.
Fair.
And, you know, and I have to rely on Paul Hollywood telling me if the bacon is good.
Well, I mean, if you see him drop out the handshake, you know it's good.
You know, I think they overrate the handshake, too.
I don't know.
They make it some big deal.
It is a big deal. Paul, that sounds like someone who's never gotten a Paul Hollywood handshake would say.
I have never gotten a Paul Hollywood handshake.
See? good times.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, if you heard, but Mike Pence, our vice president, announced that members of the Space Force will be called Guardians.
Our country sucks.
A name chosen by space professionals for space professionals. That's what it says on the thing. Guardians. A name chosen by space professionals for space professionals. And you know, and the funny thing is, you know, it's like I just like with the whole symbol that looks just like Star Trek, the fact that they're just not calling it Space Fleet is annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is like if you're gonna do it, lean into it. That's what I say.
Yeah. If you're like, gonna be, if you're gonna live the meme, live the meme.
Yes, exactly. Don't let your memes be dreams. You go into that, and it's like if they called it Space Fleet, and you said, "Hey, you have a chance to join Space Fleet," I would sign up, hands down. I would join Space Fleet. I mean, no joke. I would. I would do it. I mean, I don't even have to have a red shirt. I would totally join it.
Good old Space Fleet.
Yeah. I mean, did they got the. That took me a long time to wrap my head around that the Federation and Space Fleet were two separate entities.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, we got on a tangent there. All right. Fleet. So you said you had content for today.
I did.
I wanted to hear what your content was.
My gold standard idea of content. Well, so it's all the rage to do these days, and I realized that we as a podcast have never done one ever. But a miniatures game tier list.
Ooh, a tier list.
Yeah, a tier list. So,
Okay.
I have a list of miniatures games.
Okay.
And then we're just going to tier them, and then we're going to reevaluate. We can either, I mean, I don't know if you ever built a tier list, but it'll be easy. So
I do know a lot of miniatures games, and I'm familiar with most of their rules enough that I could probably tier them into at least the Joe list of like how I tier games, which is might be completely arbitrary. But anyway,
all tier lists are completely arbitrary.
Yes,
they're all opinion. The only thing you can be is if you just tier listed facts based on like bigger numbers, like 6 feet is compared to 3 feet is S tier because it's.
It's obviously bigger.
Obviously bigger. Yes.
However, right. you can't compare that in penis size because sometimes the bigger penises are not always better penises.
I mean, it could be comically over large. Yes, that's correct.
Exactly. Anyway,
like Willem Dafoe.
Like Willem Dafoe in Nymphomaniac. Not Nymphomaniac. What was that movie?
Antichrist.
But
that's a stunt dick. That's not Willem Dafoe's dick.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But it was comically large.
Yes. Willem Dafoe's dick was bigger. All right. So they don't have any, there's no obscure games on this list and there's no classic games on this list. I would say this is all recent to still being made.
Okay. Okay.
So there's no, like, it doesn't have like War Master or like the really old ones or like so this is all newer, like more contemporary list.
More contemporary. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to tier S, A, B, C, D. So
okay. S, A, B,
C, D.
D. Okay.
Yeah. So S is going to be phenomenal. Like any flaws are so minor you can ignore them. It's just the best. Like this is the game you should play.
Okay.
A is like it's thumbs up all around. Good. A good like base. Like this are not a good base. A is like it's a very good game. Like this is a game that like would be very popular. You know, you think there's a lot of people playing it. B is a game that's decent but has serious flaws. C is a game that is mediocre and has flaws. And D is a game that is probably better suited to be never touched.
I am looking forward to this argument and to this this list going down to arguments and then us throwing shit at each other.
Let's go. All right. So, I want to say let's weight the rules heavier than the models, but let's include the models.
I was going to say, I include the models, and I'm also going to include two other little things. They are much less in the rating, but player base and support from the company.
I like it.
The producer.
All right. Let's start off with the easy one. Kings of War.
Ooh, Kings of War. If I had to make an argument, I would definitely not put it S tier. No. I'd probably put it about B tier. I think that would be about fair. I'm not 100% positive on that.
I completely agree. That's exactly where I would put it. I would put it B tier.
So here's my thinking on that. Kings of War, the idea behind it is great. It's a block game system. There's a block game fantasy system. Not many of them exist anymore.
Yep.
It's got a very, very generic rule set in that everything tries to be very, very middling. Like, they try not to swing anything with special rules so that it plays too differently from any of the other armies.
Yes, which I feel is a huge detriment because that definitely makes it like there's no reason to take a lesser unit.
Exactly.
Take the, the best unit. You find the best unit you can buy for the points, you just copy paste that unit.
And I think that's where it ends up being, is that it's so, everything about the armies are so generic that the things that do make it unique make the army best, and that's what you kind of spam when you're playing the army. Right. But I do think that it's got a decent player base, it's got a decent support system, and it's, you know, you really don't have to just use their figures, and their figures are not bad.
Especially compared to their original launch with the elves. And like just seeing where they're at now from where they were. I think Mantic's a good company. I like their minis. I like the rules. I like what they do.
Yeah.
So I said, this is like a B tier is not a slam at all.
No.
I think B is good. I said is a good game with flaws. And I think King's War fits exactly there. I'd like to see the newest edition, but from what I hear, it's more of a, it doesn't change a lot of my issues with the core game, but it does balance the game a bit better.
Yeah, the addition changes in Kings of War are not drastic changes. It's like, currently I think they're on third edition of Kings of War, right?
Third edition.
But it's more like 1.3 more than anything else.
Kind of. Well, a lot of their additions changes are, they focus more on the universal rules than the units.
Exactly. It's so, like, and even the universal rules that they change up are not dramatic changes. So there are some, but
yeah, I mean, it's like any edition. It's not as big of an overhaul as the average like Warhammer edition was.
Oh God. If it's like a Warhammer edition, it was like, oh God, there's a new edition. I need to buy an entire new army because the game is not going to play the same.
Right. Exactly. It's like, oh, your army was all chariots. Well, chariots suck now. So you need to buy infantry.
Yeah. All right. Like what's the next one?
All right. Next one. Warhammer Age of Sigmar.
Ooh. I'm saying
Age of Sigmar.
I would. Age of Sigmar is very, very close. It might be one of the few games that I'd say is close to S tier for me. The rules I think are very solid. It's got a wide variety of armies. It's got really great support. It's got a huge player base. The models are fantastic. I don't know if I've already said that or not. It does have its flaws in that it does suffer from exactly what we were talking about, in that when there are addition changes, it's like you're playing an entire new game and you have to.
Yeah, a lot more of the armies were kneecapped than people had thought when they did the big addition change. Cause like it was subtle. So you didn't notice until you actually started playing games and you're like, wow, this thing that used to be good sucks now.
Yeah. The game, like the armies, like Fire Slayers became a completely new army in between first and second edition of that game. And in second edition, they were like, okay, well now you have to have terrain as part of your army in order to make your army good.
Right. Right.
And then they tried to, let's face it. 90% Games Workshop is about making money. So their whole thing is that when they do a new edition, it's because they want to create a new revenue stream somehow. A lot of these games are not always that case. Like Kings of War, I don't believe is about like, yes, they want to make money. They're a company. We're in a capitalist society, but I don't think that their edition change is necessarily driven by profit. It's about, yeah, hey, this game's gotten kind of stale. How can we fix it?
Yeah. The only thing they sell more of when they do an edition change for Kings of War is the core book.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, a $20 book, so.
Yeah, and it's not an overhaul of armies, so you're not going to see the revenue streams from your new army releases. Because that's what it is. The new edition change always carries over into new army releases.
Yeah, so what's your rating on Age of Sigmar?
I was going to put Age of Sigmar at A tier.
A tier? Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, just about like in between S and A.
Yeah,
I
was going to put it A tier. Basically, the flaws listed are certainly put it towards A, and I also feel that the tournaments could use work. I guess like the competitive side could use a little bit of work.
Yeah,
it's pretty good though. But recently the army book codex creep has been pretty absurd. Although it hasn't mattered much because there haven't been any tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've been a year out of tournaments. And if we were going to talk about if we were going to include tournament play as part of a game, there are very few games that can actually work on the tournament level.
Competitive nature of the game. Yeah, I mean, I think it matters because there's some that are. I mean, we have to say that because one of the selling points of some of the games we'll review was the fact that they were made to be tournament competitive. So that's we have to account for that.
Okay. What's your next one?
The next one is BattleTech.
Why?
Why?
BattleTech, the one thing I got to give BattleTech props for is the fucking fan base of BattleTech. Like, as much as, like, the minis are hit and miss. Like, they've gotten better over the years, but people still play with the old shit.
Yeah, and a lot of the old Clan War stuff is really cool. Like, Ghost Bear mechs and stuff, the Kodiak, they're cool.
There are cool mechs. There's some classic mechs, too. And I think that all, like, is real, like, lends itself to the game. That the terrain is, I think, fairly standardized enough that people can really, you could build your own BattleTech terrain quickly and do some good stuff.
I think it still has hex board rules too.
Yep, so. It does.
Yeah.
But for Christ's sakes, those fucking rule books. I would put them almost at C tier just on the rule books alone.
That's exactly where I was going to put it. The thing about that is, and this is why tier lists are completely subjective, because the way you build your mechs and the way the minutiae works in BattleTech to you and I sounds absolutely horrible. Sounds like a fucking awful time. Yeah. It sounds like doing taxes before you get to play your miniatures game. But some people are going to be completely like, they're going to be like, what? No, that's the best rule set ever written.
No, I totally get that, but it's like, you do have to have a master's degree in fucking mathematics to get through that rule book.
And engineering.
And engineering, yeah. It's like you're building your own shit, and then you have some guy go, that would never work as a mech. It's too heavy to complete with ground, depression. And you're like,
look, you also need to overhaul the fusion reactor here. Otherwise, you're gonna have too much pressure on the joints here and here. What did you fail basic physics?
And then you're like, well, I mean, yeah, that's right, but this is a science fiction game, so we can easily just have it play. And the guy's like, no, actually, it's supported here in the rules that it's going to fail. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ, you're right. Fuck.
Yeah, because of all this science.
Science. Yeah, that's like, I would love to get into BattleTech and have a small BattleTech, like, just mech army. I have 3D printing files for BattleTech, figures. But goddamn those rules. And it's like, and the thing is, too, is I'm never going to go against somebody who says that they love BattleTech, because I know that there is a deep love of that game.
Yeah. I get it. I used to love the cartoons as a kid. I had the toys. I had MechWarrior video games. I played a lot of those.
But yes, C-tier.
C-tier. Blood Bowl.
Oof. Blood Bowl. I'm gonna put it at A-tier.
I would agree. Blood Bowl is A-tier. The only thing that would push Blood Bowl up a little bit would be, a bit more support.
What would push it to S tier is if the rules weren't so random. In that, like, I love Blood Bowl. I love playing Blood Bowl.
They're pretty random, but they're not, like, completely.
But you cannot play that game with the same type of "I want to win" attitude as most mini games.
No, if you want to win, Blood Bowl is not the game you should play.
No, Blood Bowl is a game about having fun, which is, we all know, miniature games are not about having fun.
That's right. Miniature games are about winning.
It's about winning. No, and that's the thing too. It's like they have a fantastic model line.
Yeah, the new minis are dope.
The fan base has been around for 40 years at this point and still going strong. They have excellent release box sets. I think that they're supported fairly well. The rules, though, are just not, like, they're very random, and that's the fun of the game, and it's hard to reconcile that fact, so that's why I put it at A tier.
Yeah, I would hear more arguments for S tier, but it's a sports game, so.
Yeah, it's like the S tier. It's just, it's almost there. It might be maybe the closest to an S tier game that we're gonna have on this list. Though I do have a couple.
I am putting it in front of Age of Sigmar.
I would put that in front of Age of Sigmar too. I think most specialist games go up ahead of a lot of the bigger games just because they're so niche. Yeah. That they can have a very, as long as they're supported and have nice models, I think that they can easily win above most of those bigger games.
Mm-hmm. Next game. Batman miniatures game.
Oh, that's a D game for me, man. That's
free.
A D.
Free D slot.
Free D?
Free D. It's a free D slot. Let's go to the next game.
Just to give the rules are fucking yeah. Anything from Night Games is a fucking mess.
Yeah,
the miniatures are not miniatures. They're statues, and that you have to paint to look just like the fucking characters. Otherwise, what's the fucking point of having them? So there's no fun in that. Ugh. I do, but I do like the terrain for those games. I think that's very cool looking.
they have nice city terrain. That's not something you see super often, like regular contemporary city.
Yeah, and it looks...
Usually it's medieval or futuristic.
And if you get a nice board with some MDF cut terrain like that, and you put like some fake lights in it, and you have a mostly black board, it looks fucking phenomenal.
Yes.
For Batman. Anyway.
I am the Bat. All right. Next game, A Song of Ice and Fire.
Ooh, I was wondering if this was going to pop on here. I might go, like, look, there's, I'm going to take myself out of who I am as Joe, but I'd put that as almost, I'd put that as high C, low B. I might go high C, and I'll explain my reasonings, but you go ahead.
I was going to put it in C above Battletech. I like the look. I like the design. The game seems clean.
Yeah.
I don't like it. The game, like game design wise, they made non-combat units more important than combat units in
yep.
a war game, which is, well, you know, we're rating miniature war games. And then also it actually loses. It does lose, believe it or not, it does lose points because it's a licensed game. Licensed games for me all lose points because there is a chance that the game will just go poof because the license runs out.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily matter for miniatures games because miniatures games licenses are super, super long. But licensed games like Lord of the Rings, the card game for Decipher, I'll use it as a quick example. Super popular card game. That was one of the most popular card games of the time, of its era when it came out. It was a really great game mechanically, super strong mechanics, very good game, made tons of money, but New Line decided just like, oh, we're not renewing the license. So the game just died.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get that.
Yeah. So I don't like having that hanging overhead, but what do you think?
So pretty, a lot of the similar things. I think the game suffers from, component bloat. I think there's too many like chits and movement trays and everything else that you have to get the game working and running well. Yeah, you could sub out some of that stuff, but it's like most Cool Mini or Not games, you have to have a shit ton of components so that people think that the game is worthwhile.
Right.
And that's always kind of a mess for me. I do agree. I think that I don't like licensed games, but I think for different reasons than you don't like licensed games. Like you don't like licensed games because the license could run out. I feel that games and their creativity are hampered by licenses. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. So they have a Baratheon army now. That's cool. Except everything is kind of modeled after, you know, we're going to have hammers and all this shit because that's what Robert Baratheon had in not even one episode of the show. He used it
yes.
on the battlefield. So why all of a sudden are all of his knights using hammers? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Because that's not the way that knights work. Now, if that was supported inside of the license, then I guess you could say that. But they're taking like weird liberties that don't that are not necessarily, I think, true to the story. And so you have that problem, and there's a lot of disconnect for me as a fan of the license and you know minis games. That's a big problem for me.
Yeah.
Also, I think that there you could get. I think that it would be much cooler if it was a lot more, I guess you could say you're a lot more freer with what you were doing with the game as opposed to kind of like setting it inside the universe as it is.
Yeah, no, makes sense.
Yeah. I also don't understand why you'd have a game with a circle base using movement trays.
I like that though. I'm a fan of that.
It's a lot of wasted space on the battlefield.
Well, generally the circle base part should be if there's a way to play with them on the circle bases. I will say that.
Yeah. Cause you could do that with some of the characters. Like you could swap out and put the character into the unit, that's fine. But, you know, on that, the sculpts are really beautiful though. And I think it's interesting that Cool Mini has supported this game as long as they have. I mean, for fuck's sake, there's what, six armies out for it now?
Yeah.
You got Starks, Lannisters, Nightwatch, Wildlings, Targaryens, and Baratheons right now, which is, that's a, six armies is a pretty decent support system for that game.
Yep, that's a lot of choice.
Yeah, but yeah, it's, and I think that the rules are kind of, I don't know, they're fine. There's nothing that makes them unique and fun, I guess. I mean, I look at the rules and I'm just like, whatever. Like, if that makes sense.
I like it. Yes. So next game.
Yeah.
Warhammer 40,000, Kill Team.
Oh, Kill Team. Oh, yes. Shit. Kill Team is definitely an A game. It's not a high A. I'd say it's a low A. I think that there's a fuck ton of components with Kill Team. You need to have so much shit for Kill Team to make Kill Team work. Yes. The game, and you know what? I'm going to revise that. I'm going to go down to B, because that game has way too much for a game that should be much simpler than it is.
That's true. And you do need to buy like basically every release, because you got to get the cards.
Yeah. And there's a lot of fucking releases for that game. And so that's why I would say that game has gone down. I think I'll put that as a B release. It's a fun concept game. Like, the concept behind it is such a good concept, but they just kind of fucked it up with execution.
Yep.
And some of the releases are gorgeous. That Rogue Trader set that they did is one of my favorite sets of all time.
Yeah, they look sick. They look super good.
Yeah.
Next game, Warhammer, the Game of Fantasy Battles.
Oh, so we were doing unsupport. We were new games.
They were all contemporary games.
Contemporary.
Some of them don't exist anymore, but they're all contemporary.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Which edition? Current last edition?
Well, we have to go with what was the last edition before the game was gone.
Eighth
edition. So this has to be a review of eighth edition.
C, but only in hindsight because of previous editions, which were much better.
Fair. I would put it in C just because I think it was a strict downgrade from 7th edition. So like I think they actually just made a worse edition.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I think if it was maybe released on its own, it might be a little bit higher B, and my complaints would be you need way too many figures to play the game. And the game would takes forever. Eighth edition took forever to play.
Yes.
And plus you still have you don't have alternating turn, like alternating activations. It's turn-based. It's like, it's you go, I go. And that's just, that's obnoxious in this day and age. Like, that doesn't need to exist the way that it exists.
Mm. That's fair. Infinity.
Probably B tier.
Yep. I was going to put it at the bottom of B tier below Kings of War.
Yeah, I mean, I might put it about equal with Kings of War. I think that it's one of those games that once you get into it, it's very easy to understand.
Mm.
I think that the models are gorgeous. There's a lot of problems with the models, but I think they're gorgeous.
Yes.
It's not my style model to paint, so that's why I'm not like a huge fan. If that makes sense, I have a lot of bias on that. In that I'm not a mech painter. I'm not like, I don't paint. I'm not a big anime fan. I don't like painting that style.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
I think there's nothing wrong with the rules. I think the rules are actually pretty solid. It has its issues.
I'm not super up to date with the current ones, but the last edition I played was awful.
Yeah. I mean, I think...
But that was a few editions ago, so...
I played first edition. The rules weren't great because they were translated via like Google Translate, like 2003 Google Translate.
Yeah.
not the best. I want to say it was second edition. I don't know what edition they're on currently. But I did play, I want to say it was either second or third edition, and I did like it. I thought the rules were good. I just, it's not my style of game.
Yeah. Next game, Malifaux third edition.
Third edition Malifaux. I'm gonna be fair and not have bias when I'm talking about this. Shit.
It's a tier list. You get to have bias.
I know I get to have, I don't want to have too much personal bias though, because I want to look at it very objectively, and I could put my bias into the objectiveness of it, but I don't necessarily.
My spot is C tier below Battletech. That is where I put it.
I mean, that might be fair. I might even go D. I never liked the models.
Here's the thing for me. I think the models coherently are terrible because, like, there's very little visual coherence between any of the factions in that game.
There's a little bit more now. They've done a better job with that.
But
continue.
So things didn't look like they were from the same game.
Mm-hmm.
I know they've had a ton of models of release. So they did improve their minis, which I liked. I feel like they started making miniatures that I was actually like, oh, that's not stupid.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They really improved their mini line. So I'd say by third edition, their minis aren't bad. The minis are probably, I would put almost B tier just for the minis. Mm-hmm. I think that their rules are kind of, the rules are a fucking mess with that game.
I heard the most recent, this is the when there was the last big change, the first to second edition, apparently all of the rules got better and they lost players.
Yeah. There you go. It's a game that's so far out of my purview that it's very hard for me to objectively rate that game. But if I had to, I would say it's probably D tier just because of the amount of that. I just don't fucking care about that game.
Yeah. I think very bottom of C is where I'd put it, because I could see buying like the Bayou Pigman army just because like they look really fun to paint like that, you know, that might be cool. I'd probably play the game once, be like, eh, but it'd have a cool Bayou Pigman.
No, and that's absolutely fair. I believe it's absolutely 100% fair.
Next game, Arena Rex.
Ooh, Arena Rex. I would probably put Arena Rex at like, I want to be fair too, and even though that the guys do listen to the podcast and I consider us all friendly, I would probably put it at an A tier game.
Really?
Yeah.
I was gonna put it at S, but I want to hear why you think it's A.
I think that the one thing that kind of holds it back from S tier, if anything, I think that there's like a small, like the rules, I don't think are user friendly.
Mm.
I think that there is a little bit of, I need a play group to
Someone needs to teach me this game right now.
Someone needs to teach me this game. I think it's hard. It's very hard to learn on your own. I also think it's a little hard to teach. But that's also me, and I'm not the best person in the world for learning rules, as anybody who's played a mini game will tell me. Like, they're just like, you don't know what you're doing. I go, I know, but that's who I am. like, no, you can't just have your figures run and attack. You either get to run or move and attack. And I'm like, well, why can't I run and attack? I can run and attack you. And they're like, that's not the way the game works, Joe. Like, God damn it. That's about it. I like the minis are great, and I love that you can have like a very small army. I love the supports, and I love the fan base too. The fans do a great job with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's one of those games. Like, there's very few games for me that will hit that S tier. So
yeah, I for me that would be the Arena Rex would be S for me. Army size, minis, consistency. Definitely is all there. It strikes all the notes that you'd want from a game. So
yeah,
I'm a big fan. I guess the only I don't know if it's a gripe, but like, I guess the only minus would be that the game is small, which I think is a plus. So some people might consider that a minus because there's only like, you know, like a couple new releases a year.
Yeah.
So like, some people might consider that a minus. I wouldn't. I feel the opposite about that. So that's like I like when games have manageable releases.
Yeah, I think sometimes with small releases, like games with manageable releases, as you're saying, is that a lot of people see that as we're not getting support from the company, and then they are like, the game is dying. But no, it's like it actually, that's the way that releases should be for a game.
Right, you know? Right, right.
Anyway.
Fair enough. All right. So next game. Warhammer 40,000.
Ah, fuck. I knew you were going to. I thought we might save that one for last.
Current edition, Warhammer 40,000.
And that, here's the funny thing is I don't know 9th edition that well, the newest edition. Mm. I could tell you from 8th edition. Well, let me put it this way. 7th edition was definitely a D. 8th edition, I probably would have put at a, it was definitely an improvement. I might put that at a high C, low B level. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of problems with the last edition, including like the problem you had with Kings of War, where it's like, because of the way that the edition worked, you had to take this way of doing your army.
Right. Like, yeah, you brought the Imp Guard detachment, so on and so forth.
You bought the Loyal 32, a Titan, Night Titan, and a Blood Angels detachment.
They did completely kill that in the current edition.
They did.
It's completely dead. You can't.
There was, anything. And but here's what I'll say though is that you could be competitive with other builds. It's just that you couldn't win. You couldn't like take the tournament unless you brought that specific.
Yes. Yeah.
List.
You had to have that list.
Like I literally saw that list decimate a chaos. I think it was a grand tournament, a UK grand tournament, where it was that list versus two. It was Mortarion and Magnus the Red.
Yeah, he tabled the guy.
And he tabled the guy. Like, he literally just whomped him. That should not be in a game. I've heard that the new edition improves a lot of that.
Yes,
I'm not saying that's going to move, because some of my bigger problems with 40K will always be there with 40K, in that Codex creep is always a fucking problem.
Yes.
You have to have 4 to 5 rule books just to play with your army in most cases.
Yes.
The models are so expensive for what they are.
Yes.
But that's not, you know, that part of that problem is with me as a person who likes to own a fuck ton of shit, that I don't know when to stop buying and just pay the shit that I have. And I think that's someone that the listeners of this cast would understand about me. But yeah, I don't think 40K will ever get above maybe a low B rating.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna put it at high C, low B.
Yeah.
I didn't decide if I was gonna put, but I think the Codex creep, I don't know if it's bad yet, but that seems like a really good reason to put it at the top of C, above Warhammer Fantasy.
And that's the funny thing is that Warhammer is that Age of Sigmar does not have that level of Codex creep that 40K does.
The problem with Age of Sigmar is though is like the Codexes come out and they're either and this is why it doesn't have the Codex creep is because the Age of Sigmar Codexes are so swingy and power level, like.
Yeah, some of them are just good, some of them are just bad.
Yeah, Beastclaw Raiders, okay, cool, your army's terrible. Doesn't matter. And then they release the Tzeentch book and it's like, oh, this army breaks the game. Literally unbeatable.
Yeah.
Cool. It's cool.
And it's and then it's like the next army would be like, oh, it's like, oh, they're gonna like design the next army to beat Tzeentch. And it's like, no.
Tzeentch is just gonna be the best army for like a year and a half.
Exactly. It's so bizarre.
So it's weird because like there are new codexes that are absolutely busted in Age of Sigmar.
I don't think that 40K has had Codex creep as bad as it did like in that 6th, 7th edition era. I think it's been a little bit better.
Mm.
But yeah, still it's like it's still a mess. In a game that big with a tournament. And I think that's part of it too, is that the tournament levels for 40K are so huge that people will find a way to break that army and break those armies and codexes so quickly. Maybe seems like there's like Codex creep, but I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be crowdsourced and destroyed. Next game, the Middle Earth strategy battle game.
Oof, the newest edition.
Yep, current edition.
Shit, I'm gonna have to go high A, low S.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna put it right below Arena Rex in A tier.
Yeah, I mean it's good. It's real good. I think that they do a lot of really good. And the balance I think is there. I think that the models are pricey, but you don't have to have that many, which is nice.
Yeah. Army size. You do not have to play a giant army in that game.
Yeah. And but I think that one of the problems I have with it is the kind of what you were talking about with Song of Ice and Fire is that
licensing.
You're hamstrung by what you see in the books and movies.
Yep.
You don't have to be as a designer, but Games Workshop is pretty close to Tolkien lore. They do a well enough job with Tolkien lore that everybody just kind of accepts when they do something outside of the box, kind of,
outside
the movies. They're like, oh, this looks good enough. We're going to do this. And I think that they do a good job with that, but that does hamstring them as a design. And plus they have one of those weird things where it's like something is slightly in the movie, so they put it in the game, and they still continue to support that.
Yes.
Like Alfred in the fucking Hobbit movies.
Oh, he's so good in the game too. He's so strong.
I know, it's so ridiculous that this one stupid character in a movie is shoehorned into the game, and wouldn't be. So it's just odd.
Yes. But well, it's because they still made them. They made miniatures for scenarios. So
yeah,
like, there's like the game is very good as a 1v1 battle game. I think it's right now. I think it's Games Workshop's best. But it's it also is made with the like play the scenes. You know, again, like can you pilot the Fellowship to escape from the troll, or are you good enough to get the troll to kill the Fellowship kind of thing?
Are you a bad enough dude to save the president?
Are you a bad enough dude to stab the Frodo? All right. So yeah, I think it's fair. And like I said, I wouldn't put it I don't think like if it wasn't licensed, it would make it S. Or if it was made by if it was made by the Tolkien estate, like literally like the license can't expire because the people who created it.
I think though it's not S. The Lord of the Rings licensing though for Games Workshop is like the best case scenario for any sort of miniatures license.
They got it for like a decade.
20 years at this point.
Yeah, so it's very safe.
Yeah.
Next game, Mordheim, City of the Damned.
Oof. I'm gonna go B. The game, as much as I love the game had its problems.
Yeah. For me, I don't think I could. I don't think I could put it. I couldn't put it above Infinity for sure. So it would be at the bottom of B.
Yeah. The game had many problems. It was supported for a very long time. The fan base is really good with it. I think, and I don't know if we're gonna get into it, but I think Warcry is the better version of Mordheim, and and Mordheim suffers from the same thing as like classic Necromunda. It's the same fucking problems. Because it's the same game. It's the same problems for the game. The minis are cool. It was a game that needed many rules, FAQs that just were not coming out, and it hamstrung the game.
Oh, for sure. Speaking of that, next game, Necromunda.
The new Necromunda is very good though. So I do
really like the new Necromunda.
I would put that as probably B plus A minus.
Yeah, I was gonna put it at the bottom of A because I think it's significantly better than Kill Team, and I think if you want the Kill Team experience, you should play Necromunda.
Yeah, the only problem I have with Necromunda, and they did fix it with the newest release, was that Necromunda was very flat, and the newest edition of Necromunda was very flat until they put out the new rules for like the 3D terrain.
Oh right, yeah.
The flatness is fine. It kind of worked like Killzone. Or whatever that's called. So that was it's fun. It's nice. You could have some very nice you could have some very nice fast games with it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my response with it. And all the new resculpts of all the models are really great. Anytime they release anything for that game, it's like, ooh, the model's good.
Yeah, every release it's like, ooh, it's a good model. Right. Next game, Guild Ball.
I would put Guild Balls in A.
Yeah.
I do not put Guild Balls in S, and here's the reasons why I don't put Guild Balls in S. A, the first point is it's done. They killed it. I mean, in some ways, that's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the models are spotty. They're hit and miss. Some are just boring as fuck.
Yes.
I think the player base is annoying. However, the game itself is solid. It's a solid fucking game, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's not my style of play, it's not my game, but dude, there's not much wrong you could find with that game, with that rule set.
Yeah, I agree.
You can, but there's...
I mean, the rule set's really good. It's set up to be competitive. It's reachable for casual, but it's acceptable for tournament play. So
yeah, I mean, but the gap between casual and tournament was pretty huge.
That's true.
And I think it's one of those things where it's like, you got to struggle to really find what you don't like about that game if you play it and you like the models.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Next game.
Which one?
Star Wars Legion.
Legion. Okay.
For me, D tier, free. Easy. D tier. Lower than Batman.
No, it's not lower than Batman. I'll go solid C on Legion. I might even go B.
Disgusting.
Legion is not a bad game. Legion is a very beer and pretzels game. There are just so many fucking things stacked against that game.
So is it better or worse than Song of Ice and Fire? Straight up, heads up.
Oh, it's not as good as Song of Ice and Fire, I think.
Okay. Better than Battletech?
It's a different animal. It's like comparing apples to oranges at that point. Right. You can't compare those two games. The models are all great. It has spotty support from Fantasy Flight, and it's not even going to be Fantasy Flight game anymore.
Yeah, it's gone to the Ares. The Hero Forge or whatever, the studio that makes the...
It's Ares. Isn't that what Ares? It's called? Ares
I don't remember what the name is. Yeah. It's the guys who made the...
Crisis Protocol.
Crisis Protocol stuff, yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's like the spirit is there for that game to be good. There's a fuck ton of components, which I do not like. It's licensed, which we've talked about numerous times, which could be bad because it really suffers from like shoehorned in shit that you see on screen.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing. And it's got such a fucking slow release schedule that the game, you can't really support it. But it's the closest I've ever seen to really having a somewhat decent Star Wars minigame.
Fair enough.
But
are you sure? Because the next game in the list is Star Wars X-Wing.
X-Wing is it's lower. So I would definitely put X-Wing at D tier.
Above Batman?
Above Batman.
Okay.
X-Wing, God bless you.
It had its moment.
It did. The problem is that it doesn't feel like space combat.
No.
The minis look great. They're pre-painted, which is fantastic. The rule set's not bad, but it's like you have to have a certain list to play.
Yes, and you need to buy multiples of expensive ships, and it's like a...
Yeah.
It's not real. Like, it lies about how accessible it is, because you look and you're like, wow, ship's $15. That's kind of expensive. It's like, yeah. But you look at the starter and you're like, oh, well, there's only like two ships. So
it
it's not that bad.
It is a liar. It's a lying game. It lies about what it is.
Yep.
However, that being said, the way it is does work really well for competitive play.
Kind of. There's been some pretty insane moments because of how... how tight / loose the rules are. Cause like if you like move a model just a little bit, that's huge. That's like a gigantic problem.
Yeah. And you know, but you know what that works with a lot of minis games, like, and especially with X-Wing
games, if you move a model a little bit, they can just be like, just fudge it kind of back where it is. With X-Wing, it's just like, no, cause everything moves on templates. So like,
that's true. Yeah.
So any fudging is like huge.
Yeah. It's just, it's a liar. It's a lying game, and it lies to you and it lies to all of us. The only thing that really is the positive with X-Wing is the ship.
You are a thief and a liar.
Yeah. Take him away.
Next game, Frostgrave.
Ooh, Frostgrave. Ah. Frostgrave, I haven't played anything past like the first major release for Frostgrave. I haven't played Ghost Archipelago. I haven't played any of the new stuff. However, the game is definitely the spiritual successor to Mordheim.
Oh, for sure.
It's better than Mordheim in a lot of ways. I like the D20 system.
Yes.
I think it's a lot more accurate. However, I just found the game so fucking boring.
I put it at the top of B tier. I think it's better than Kill Team.
I'll go B tier on that one. The game is so
you need to have the expansions.
Exactly.
You absolutely have to have the expansions.
Like when the game just devolves into who can get the treasure chests off the table first, that's annoying as fuck.
Yes.
I always kind of felt like when I was playing, is like, why can't I just open the chest and get the gold and then I just have the gold or I have the treasure?
Yes.
Until like maybe this guy is killed in some way or another.
Right.
Why do I have to get off the board? That's the annoying part to me.
Yep. I agree. Warhammer.
Also, wait, I want to say this too, is that Frostgrave is one of those games that's like Kings of War where it's they have a miniatures. The miniatures are good. The miniatures are actually...
They have great Knoll minis.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of their minis are like nice multi-part late 5th edition or early 6th edition.
Skeletons are really dope. Yeah. I like their skeletons a lot.
They're proxies for late 5th edition, early 6th edition fantasy figures done nicely. Like, yes. The molds are nicer. And so, like, you don't have to play with those figures, but you can, and they're nice.
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
The next game, Warhammer Underworlds.
Oh, I'm biased on this one, but I will definitely go A tier.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it at A tier because you have to buy everything.
Yeah, you have to buy everything. That's the one. That's what's keeping it from S tier for me. In all honesty,
I would put it below. I would put it below Frostgrave in B tier personally. Yeah.
And I think
that.
And I think we've talked about this before.
And,
like,
and it's also more of a card game than a minis game.
Yeah, there's a lot of the flaws with the game is there's a lot of chaff. There's a lot of chaff in that game. You get, like, what, 30 cards in a pack, and out of those 30 cards, there might be 3 that are worthwhile.
Yeah, yeah, easily.
That's not the right ratio, but that's very similar to what it is.
That's probably about right.
Some warbands are just god-fucking-awful in the meta, and they have no real reason to be released other than the fact that they have the sculpts for them.
The cards.
And then there are some sculpts that – and there's some – warbands that are just too fucking good for the game, and they make the game unfun. The troll. That troll ruined the fucking game. And I've played, and like, so there's another one, there's another warband that's an ogre hunter, and he is like the troll except more fun to play against.
Okay.
I mean, he's beefy and he could do a lot more. And I think one of the things too is I think there's it's a very well supported game too. There's a lot of FAQs that come out about it, but some of the FAQ rulings are so bad that I have no idea why they made that decision.
Yes.
The classic one I can always think about is, like, I think it's called the Crown of Avarice. And the whole thing is that if you have the crown on and your character is killed, any, unspent glory that your opponent has goes to you, or you get at least one unspent glory from your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But they ruled it in that, the glory that your opponent gets from killing you can count as that unspent glory. And it's like, well, then why would you write the card that way?
Right.
You would just write that your opponent gets the glory and you get the opponent's the glory for being killed.
Right.
But the way that it's written is kind of like, well, if your opponent doesn't have any unspent glory, then you don't get anything.
Right.
So that makes it...
They worded it terribly.
Yeah. So that makes it actually kind of an interesting card, because you'd have to, as a player, you'd be like, oh, wait, he has a Crown of Avarice. I have unspent glory, so I'm not going to try and kill him because I don't want him to get any of my glory. Right? So there's actually thinking involved. Now with that, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So it's just, like, you just kill him.
I get the glory point.
Yeah, that's annoying to me. And that's, I think, a bad... That's a prime example of a bad rule read.
I agree with that. I think it's in high B. I think it's better. I mean, it's better than Kill Team. I don't think it's as good as Frostgrave. I think Frostgrave is the closest, maybe not the closest competitor it has, but, like, that's the closest game I could think of, and I think Frostgrave is overall better.
And I also think, though, that it is more of a card game than it is a minis game.
Yes, but that's, absolutely. Yeah. It's more of a card game than a minis game. So we have to, I think that's important to consider.
Yes. All right, next up.
Because the next one is one I think that is better, which is Warcry.
Warcry is an S-tier game for me. It's easy, hands down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it's a good spot. I think it's the old, like, it remains to be seen, I guess, competitive side, but not counting competitive side. Yeah, I agree with that.
It is a very, I would never play Warcry in a competitive setting. There's a couple reasons for that. One, in that the card setup for the terrain, there's a lot of wiggle room. And I think if you want to have that game be competitive, tournament competitive, you cannot have that level of wiggle room with terrain, with the models, with anything. You cannot have the amount of wiggle room Warcry has. That being said, though, as a beer and pretzels game and a pickup game, that game is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And as a campaign game, the campaigns are phenomenal for your guys.
Yep.
The support for the figures is great, because not only have they created warbands for the game, but they also have released cards and rules.
Yes,
the
game got a lot better when they did that. So
they just released the four books for like play, so that they're like updated rules on the cards. So now you don't even really need cards to play the game anymore. Mm. I bought the Undead book because actually the store I went to was sold out of all of them except like the Undead and Destruction books. And because I'm working on a Vampire Counts army, I'm like, oh, I'm going to pick up the Undead book. And it's phenomenal. Like, you can literally play anything in that game. Like, if you wanted to, Steve, like we were talking about 3D printed Tomb Kings, fuck, just you proxy your Tomb Kings for Warcry.
Nice.
I'm seriously, like, look into it. And if you wanted to play, if you have a hankering to paint Tomb Kings, that's the game to play it for.
Nice. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. I have never recommended a game so highly, with the exception that the fact that Catacombs is probably one of the worst box set releases I've seen in a while.
Well, I mean, you guess you can't win them all.
You can't win them all. But I mean, like, all like the components, like it's worse than the sum of its parts. Let's put it that way. You look at it all individually. You're like, oh, this is fantastic. Oh, this is fantastic. And you put it all together and you put that price on it and you're like, what? No,
this is outrageously.
You turn into Mark Wahlberg from the Happening. Like, no. What? No,
no, ma'am. No, ma'am. No,
no.
No.
Anyway, go on. Do we have anything left?
That's it.
I got a couple more that I'll add on to there.
I sent you the screenshot. I legit made an actual tier list. Like,
okay, here's a couple for you that are still contemporary games that we did not talk about. War Machine Hordes.
Oh, I forgot. Take a look at the picture.
Did you send it in the chat or in
I sent it on Facebook.
Okay, let me see. So anyway, War Machine Hordes.
I forgot we didn't mention them because I put them where they're going to go.
That's funny. I'm assuming you put them in like sub D F tier.
Just look.
Okay, yeah, so they're in D tier. That works for sure.
They're in D tier.
that's hashtag truth on that one.
I completely forgot. It's so funny. I just completely overlooked them because I was just like, they're going to be in D tier anyway. I'll put them here now before we talk about them. And I forgot to mention them.
I mean, it's fair to say, and I don't want to do that. Like, and I think we've talked about that before. We don't want to shit on Worm of Hordes as much as we do, but they're just, they killed the game.
I hear some okay stuff about the new one, Warcaster.
Yeah, Warcaster supposedly a fairly decent return to form.
So we'll see. I mean, I would like nothing more than to see Privateer come back with a fiery vengeance Warcaster. I'd be happy to see it. I'd love to see it.
Okay, and then we also forgot to put in Flames of War.
They weren't on the list.
They're historical and not fantasy?
They were not on the miniatures war games list tier maker.
Okay. Okay. No, I get that.
I didn't actually see any historical games whatsoever.
I'm assuming that it's because they're non-historical, but I will actually say that.
Yeah. There's too many historical games. They're like the entire tier list we just did would be like tripled if we added the historical games.
It's very true. I'll add Bolt Action and Flames of War just in our discussion of it. I would put Flames of War at probably low B, high C. I think that the new rule set, and like Team Yankee, I'd put there too. I lump them all together. Yeah. I think that the rule sets are fairly decent. And I think the minis are fairly decent. I just find them boring as like in concept. And Bolt Action, I would probably, with the newest edition, My problem is I put them in C. I like the rule set. I don't like the figures from the company from
Warlord.
Warlord. Mm-hmm. I don't like the I don't like this level of support. I think that the fact that they haven't had a new rule book or a new like army book for that game since like, and it's been like 6 years at this point.
Yeah, it's, I don't think they're coming out with a new edition.
There is literally no support for that game, and people love it though. So I mean, I'm cool with it on that end.
I suppose.
I'm trying to think of Armada is probably on the same tier as D, as X-Wing, but it may be a little bit better. I think it actually plays a little bit better than X-Wing, Sex-Wing. Mm.
Armada, it's legit a totally different game because like it's like you create a stack of like orders and like things.
It's a very different game. I think it works a little bit better as a game. I'm trying to think of like I'm going through like the store, like if I go into a gaming store and I'm looking at the minis, like trying to think about their confrontation does not really round anymore.
That's it. I just went with the list that existed there.
Yeah, I think this is pretty accurate. Yeah, I think the problem is that half of our A tier list probably could have been moved up to C. Like if they're so close, I know moved up to S, I should mean, not C. Is that like probably put Arena Rex up there, probably put Middle Earth, probably put a Blood Bowl. I think all of those probably could have gone up to S tier.
Oh, well, let's do it.
I don't know. Like I think we can put Arena Rex up there. We can put Blood Bowl up there. I think, yeah, like we could put all three of those up there. I think that those are all S tier games.
Here we go. I've updated the list I'm sending it to.
Yeah.
There we go. There's the updated tier list.
That beep that you heard was Steve sending me the updated list. So
I think it's about right.
Yeah. I think that's solid right there. I think that's solid. You know, it's a game that's not on there is 30K. I think that might be, I'd probably maybe put that above, I'd probably put that at B tier. It's above the C. It suffers a lot of the problems of 40K. It's just better. I think it's better supported in that it's less supported.
Right.
It's so there's not as much. And I think it's very, middle of the road with all of its armies, as opposed to the armies being very swingy.
Yes.
Anything else? I mean, I'm trying to look. Yeah, I feel bad about this looks about right. I'm surprised that they had Mordheim on there.
Yeah, Mordheim I thought was weird, but it was on the list.
And Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
Yeah, again, on the list. I think because probably when they were made it was those both have reasonably popular PC games.
Yeah. You know, where am I going to put Clan War on this, Steve? Clan War would actually probably be at a C tier if I had to think about it. What about Vor the Maelstrom?
Vor the Maelstrom. does the Vor the Maelstrom even count as a game?
It did. It was a very popular game. And Void as well. Both of those were very popular. Yes, what about Cronopia? Where am I going to put Cronopia?
Oh, Cronopia. I loved the Cronopia boxes.
Oh, Cronopia was a fantastic, like Cronopia was just it just encapsulated the time in which it was released. How about that? Does that make sense? Like that late 90s kind of like mini game feel, like where anything was a possibility. The Berlin Wall had fallen, you know, we had a two-term Democrat in office. It was we were doing fantastic as a society at that point. And it was like, that was when Cronopia was released, and it was like, man, we got ska music, Cronopia. Can life get any
better? Pick it up.
Yeah, it's like drinking Snapple and Boku. Like, what a Boku. Time to be alive.
Oh, man. I remember Boku. Boku
was an adult ultimate juice box.
Boku was the ultimate to have in your lunchbox at school. Like, you got a Boku? Whoa.
Yeah, it was, I say, what a time to be alive, man. What a time. But anyway, yeah, if the Cronopia stuff does look, I always thought looked really fun. It was just a terrible fucking game. And what's the other one? Warzone as well on there. Mutant Chronicles.
Yes, Mutant Chronicles. That one I noticed was specifically not on there. I think it just didn't break the popularity barrier.
You know what's a game that's not on here? They don't have a couple of the specialist games from GW that are not on here, like Adeptus Titanicus.
I think they're counting those as, I mean, me personally, I count those more as board games than minis games.
That's true. You can count them as a board game. But if you're going to count those as a board game, you should probably count Necromunda as a board game.
I don't know. I think they're different enough. Cause like Necromunda, there's a lot of Aeronautica is the one that has an actual board.
Yeah. Aeronautica has an actual board. Yes. I might put that as one, but I mean, I would put Aeronautica and Adeptus Titanicus both at probably B tier.
Yeah, that's
probably right. They may sneak into A tier because they're actually pretty fun games. I think that the cost of the models is kind of ridiculous. And I think that there are, you know what? I might just put them at A tier, both of those games. They're actually pretty fun games to play.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we had those, that's where I would put them. And then there's, of course, those games that are kind of outside of what would normally be considered minis games, but are pretty much minis games like Zombicide and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Those are definitely minis games, but they just are hiding as board games. But anyway, I think I'm happy with this list. I think this list is pretty damn accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'll disagree with you on Underworlds, but I think that you make a good point on what Underworlds is. I think Underworlds is very similar to Kill Team.
Yes.
Anywho, is there actually any gaming news that we should talk about before we end today? Because we got to leave in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say we bail on it now.
Bail on it now. All right. So, anywho, that's been Games Classy for today. Go to our Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. Like, comment, and subscribe on the iTunes. Also, best way to help out the podcast, you can like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTubes. I don't really understand why. Steve's not available on any social media at the current moment, except for Reddit, if you could track him down. He is not exercising his right on Twitter to call our current president a orange loser, I guess. Yes. Would be the best way to put it.
Big old loser.
You can actually check me out on the Instagram. I am Game Classy Joe. You can see pictures of my 3D printed Vampire Cons army. So, Steve, until next time.
Yes, Rosebud frozen peas full of country goodness and green penis. Wait, that's terrible. That's
terrible.
I quit. Just a handful for the road. Oh, what luck. There's a French fry stuck in my beard.
I love that fucking bit.
It's so good.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.